This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it's important to get rid of the shoulds in our lives, you know, and replace them with coulds. You know, you could be doing this, you could be doing that. It's not should, because if you start talking to yourself in this way, I should, basically, if you don't do the thing that you think you should do, you're going to beat yourself up and then you're going to feel bad about it. And that's going to make you actually not do it. So there's no point in going should. Just go, okay, could. Could is possibility. Then you can choose A, B, or C.
Hot breath. What's goody, Hot Breathiverse? Welcome back to Hot Breath, the show where you learn comedy from the pros. Happy 2022. I am your host, comedian Joel Byers, and our mission here at Hot Breath is to cultivate the next generation of self-made comics, and we're doing an episode like we've never done before. We've interviewed over 400 comedians and managers and agents, but today, to kick off 2022, we have a mindset coach coming in to help us level up our 2022s. It's been a tough couple years for everyone, and listening to this episode is going to help you to set goals for 2022 that you actually achieve. This interview is actually from the weekly Q&A series I do in our Hot Breath Pro community. Every single Wednesday in Hot Breath Pro, I do Q&As with social media experts, with other bookers, with other comedians, with myself. I'll go in there and answer member questions as well, all to help you level up your comedy game. So if you want to become a member of Hot Breath Pro, just go into the description of this episode and click join a masterclass. Any of our masterclasses that you join, you get instant access to Hot Breath Pro and that community and wealth of resources inside. But now we have a wealth of information for you today. So get ready, take your notes, and inhale a hot breath with Elisa Di Napoli. All right, peeps are coming in here. So this is for the Hot Breath Pro members. This is a Q&A, so feel free to ask your questions. But just for context, like looking at your website, you are a holistic, like a mindset coach. Would that be the best way to describe?
Yeah, I'm a performance, creativity, and mindset coach. And I like to work with performers, or you know, actors, improvisers, comedians, musicians, that kind of thing.
And where are you based?
Currently, I'm based in New Zealand. I was in Scotland for a long time, but I've just moved to the other side of the world.
Woo! We're global here, Hot Breathiverse. This is so cool. The big thing I wanted to jump into just to start this off as we're starting the new year is goals and really the whole mindset around like setting a goal and then actually achieving it, because that's something I know that I struggle with, that I want to get better at. And I'm sure people watching this live or listening to it later definitely want to as well. So I know you said you definitely had some things about goal setting and such. So as a comedian, I think it's so important. I think this is a topic we don't talk about a lot as well, is like becoming a comedian from the inside out. We talk a lot of things about writing and how to get booked and things, but I have found in doing comedy 12 years that the mindset can have a big difference in like achieving something or not, or excelling or feeling like you're not worthy and things like that. Like, it's such a mental game. So I'm so glad that you're here at this time, because with the pandemic and so many different things happening, like I think we need this now more than ever. So for 2022, like if people, let's say someone's listening to this and they didn't even set goals, maybe we could start there with like setting goals and then starting to work towards achieving them.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to talk about here. And first of all, I think it's important to kind of evaluate. Before we set goals, we need to evaluate not only what well, there's specific things we need to do, steps that we need to take. And I like to be quite practical. So first of all, I would say we need to actually look at our conditioning, you know, what we think we should do versus what actually feels right in our lives, you know, like our values, what's important, you know, do we, what's valuable to us? Because a lot of the time we get lost and we think, maybe this is what I should do this year. Maybe this is what, you know, perhaps my parents or society or my friends think I should do, versus actually what is valuable to me, what is important to me. And maybe what's valuable, important to you this year is not the same as what was valuable, important to you last year, you know, because things change, right? And there's no shame in that. So first of all, just accepting that things might have shifted. And then, you know, actually being prepared to clean out whatever is no longer relevant. And so one of the exercises that I like to start with is to look at, first of all, what worked. You know, what worked? What actually went well this year? Whether it is in terms of performance or getting books or writing or whatever it may be, yeah? So actually writing them down, because that is something obviously that you want to continue doing. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we take that for granted, you know? And we sometimes stop doing the thing that actually works. So let's not do that. Let's write it down. And then the second thing I would say is to look at is what didn't work and why, specifically why, because it might be that something didn't work overall because it was the wrong goal, or maybe we didn't have the skills, or maybe it's just, you know, a tweak, something that needs to be tweaked slightly that would have worked in a different way. So it's important to kind of look at that as well, you know. Some things, you know, could be in general things that we want to avoid, you know, bad habits, you know, maybe, I don't know, staying up too late, watching too many irrelevant news, spending too much time on social media, you know, this sort of thing. And so that could be something that we really want to avoid. But in another case, it could be just looking at what needs to be changed. And then once you've got that down, and I would really suggest to take time to spend time to actually do this, and often we just don't spend time with ourselves enough. Mm-hmm. So the third thing would be, okay, what can I do differently? You know, and this means not what could I do better, but what could I actually do differently? You know, it's about brainstorming and testing things out. You don't have to be sure that whatever you're going to try is going to work, because otherwise you would never try anything, right? Because a lot of other ideas don't work. I mean, you guys know, you know, half of the time when we start new material, we might be bombing, you know, just not be very funny or whatever. That's okay. It's about testing things out and not feeling like, oh, I failed just because something doesn't work. Actually, that's a positive experience. You know, the sooner you know that doesn't work, the sooner you can let it go or tweak it, you know? Mm-hmm. So that's one thing. And in this process, I think what's important is to be, you know, to be mindful of sticking to facts. So don't assume anything, just stick to the facts, keep records, you know? So for example, if you want to look at how much money did I make doing stand-up comedy this year, you know? Well, do you have an actual real precise record of how much money you made, where that money came from, you know? Because if you don't, then it's going to be all an assumption. It's all like, it could be based on anxiety rather than facts, you know? And finally, a couple of more things with that, with process. When you do this process, make sure that you, you know, if something didn't work out, you don't blame anybody, you know, you don't blame yourself, you don't blame any other people. Just try to learn from the experience and solve. I have a mindset where you are focused on solutions rather than problems, if that makes sense. Mm. And finally, the last thing would be about not overloading yourself, because, you know, I know this, I overload myself all the time, and it's such a bad habit. It's like, if you overload yourself and you set 1,000 goals, you know, you think you could do many, many, many things. You know, we usually tend to overestimate what we can do. But actually, if you set yourself 3 goals, 4 goals maximum a year, you're much more likely to achieve them. So don't overload yourself. So that's the first thing. Evaluate. That would be the first step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is great. Yeah, and this is something like, so just to kind of reiterate where we're at right now, it's like, okay, if you're, before people even set goals. They reflect on the previous year of what worked and why, and what didn't work and why, and what can they do differently this year. That's kind of the first step.
And then
for the next step to actually create these 3 to 4 goals that you're talking about, where would someone start to even figure out what is a goal? I want $10 million this year. It's like, all right, well, hold on. You're talking about like set almost like attainable but challenging goals. What is kind of the parameters around what a goal should even be? I've heard we overestimate like what we can do in a month, but we underestimate what we can do in a decade, or like something like, you know, it takes time. So for like this year, where could we start with like creating goals that we can actually achieve and build confidence around?
Yeah, I mean, it's so easy to say, oh, I want $1 million, but it's like, yeah, what do you want it for, first of all? What's this for? You know, because it's much easier to visualize and focus on an actual practical, attainable, time-specific thing. Like, I want to go on holiday to the Caribbean. I want to buy a house. I want to get booked at X, Y, and Z. You know, there needs to be practical, achievable, attainable, time-specific. You know, when do you want this by? Why do you want it? You know, what's the aim? You know, because sometimes also we may decide that we want to do something, but then it's not really, we don't realize what that entails. So for example, you know, I remember thinking, oh, I want to be a rock star. Yeah, I want to be a rock star. Yes, okay, maybe you want to be a rock star, but what does that mean? Like, what's the lifestyle of a rock star? You know, like, what does that entail? Oh, I think I need to be touring. Okay, do I like touring? You know, is this the kind of thing that would make me happy? Actually, no. You know, it's the dream of, oh, I want to be this and that, but actually, what's the lifestyle that's required to get to that? So if I don't like the lifestyle, that's not an attainable goal. Like, it's something that it's just I'm not going to do, because even if I did do it, I would be unhappy as a result. So a goal needs to be specific. Mm-hmm. As specific as possible. Not, I want to be rich, but exactly, you know, how much money, for what reason, what gig do I want to book, where, by when, you know, specific. It needs to be attainable. Now, you know, a lot of things can be attainable long term, but we want to be sure that this goal is congruent with our values and beliefs, like I said before. So if something doesn't fit with our lifestyle, what we actually, you know, we've got a family, but this job requires touring. Well, how am I going to do this? Can I move my family with me? Or actually, this isn't for me. Maybe I need to adjust my goal. You know, so it's important. And the goal needs to be, like I said, time specific as mm-hmm. well. And, you know, first of all, also the thing is that I think the most important thing is to have big goals first. So say you have maximum of 4 big goals, right? And that's a big goal for the year. But then you need to break it down, because otherwise it's just going to be up there, a big goal, and never going to get anywhere, right? So for example, I'm just thinking of an example that's got to do with, you know, comedy, because I can think of an example to do with, you know, learning, you know,
oh, I can give you mine. Okay. So my goal for this year is, for my personal YouTube channel, I want to have 10,000 subscribers.
Right. Okay. So 10,000 subscribers. So if you wanted to break that down in terms of time, you'd be like, okay, 10,000 subscribers in a year. Now, what does that mean in terms of every 3 months? So let's make it quarter, you know, 3 months, 3 months, 3 months, 3 months. So how many subscribers does that mean for each quarter? Sorry, for each third. So you divide that by, you know, by the year and multiply 3 months. and then go, okay, 3 months. Now let's look at the first third. Let's look at month by month. What does that mean for this month, next month, and the next month? So once then you have a number for 1 month, you know how many subscribers you need each month, right? So say you needed 1,000 subscribers. So I'm really bad at math. So 10,000 subscribers divided 12 is what?
So I did it by the quarter. So that would be 2.5 thousand per quarter.
Quarter. So 2,000.5 divided 3 means it's what you need for each month, right? So that's 800, and let's say 800, okay?
Around 800, basically, yeah.
Yeah, so 800 subscribers per month. Right, okay, now you've got the goal for the month. Now, let's not get just yet bogged down in the how. First of all, we want to go what? Okay, so 800 subscribers this month. Now, next, we want to look at, okay, what have I done so far to get subscribers? What have I done that has worked so far to get subscribers? Write that down. What have I done that worked, and what have I done that didn't work? Why didn't it not work? What could I do differently that would work, right? And then once you've got that, you have possibilities. You're like, okay, I could do this, this, and this, and this, and I'm not going to do this, this, and this, and this. Then once you have that list, you can be like, okay, what are the obstacles here? Let's take one thing. You know, what have I done that has that? For example, what could I do differently? And you write it down, and then you ask yourself, okay, what's a possible obstacle here? You know, what's one thing that could get in the way of this little goal that I have? And then the next question is, how can I overcome this particular obstacle, right? Well, and then let's brainstorm possibilities. Does that make sense?
Yeah, so for me, I guess, if I'm looking at what have I done that worked and didn't work, the YouTube channel is new. So would it be like 2 years ago, that was my first time like setting goals. And I set a goal to record an album, and I set a goal to run a marathon, and I had no idea how I was going to do either. So would it be looking back on what I did, and I ended up doing both. So would it be looking back on what I did to achieve those goals and then see how I can apply it to this 10,000 subscriber goal?
Well, first of all, I would stick with the actual, what you actually did in this subject, in this area. Mm-hmm. You know, in the area of getting subscribers, you know, okay. Specifically, right? First okay. of all, that.
Okay.
Right? Does that
happen? Yeah. So I have about 250 yeah. subscribers. So it would be looking at what I did to get those 250.
Yeah.
Okay.
And what worked there, yeah? What you tried, all the things you tried, and which ones worked. So in order to do that, you need to keep records, obviously.
For sure. Right? So it's almost like tracking what I'm currently doing and get the data to reflect on in like the first quarter.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And then, so do you know, for example, what, can you give me an example of something that did work?
I mean, I've been posting consistently for the past few weeks, and that's been getting, I would have to look at how many subscribers I've gotten since starting to post consistently, because I'm starting a vlog and I've been doing more skits and things I'm posting on there. So I may need more data before I could maybe like correlate what's working and what's not. It's very new.
I think it's really important to like keep records. That's what I mentioned before, you know, to just write down, okay, January 2021, I had this number of subscribers. Okay, then, you know, February, March, April, et cetera, you know, and then you can see it grow, and you can see, you know, you can write down, okay, this month I did this, this, and this, and this. If you keep records, then it's so much easier to know what to do and what not to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? So that's one thing. But for example, tell me a goal, not a goal, sorry, something that you could do differently. You know, perhaps something that you did do, but it didn't quite work, and that you think could need a tweak.
Well, even in just the content I'm currently creating, I could be more intentional about telling people to subscribe, like even throughout the video. Like I may say it at the end, but it's like saying it maybe in the middle, or being more creative with like almost gamifying getting subscribers. So the next 10 people to subscribe will be entered into a contest or whatnot, something like that.
Yeah. Okay. So that's an excellent idea to test. So you could actually do that and go, okay, I'm going to try this. Now, before you try it, let's think about an obstacle. You know, okay, what could get in the way of me doing this? You know, what can I anticipate possibly being a challenge here?
Let's just say if I go the giveaway route, then it's like giving away something that's valuable enough for people to enter the giveaway, but that's also is like equal. It's like, I don't want to do a $500 giveaway for like 10 subscribers.
Yeah. So then it's about asking yourself the question. So how do I make this feasible in terms of, you know, money that I'm and energy and time and effort that I'm putting into this? What could be a giveaway that is interesting enough but easy and doesn't take all of my time or cost tons and tons and tons of money, right? Mm-hmm. You know, so asking yourself these questions and really engaging with the answer, you know, having different options. So you can try A, B, C, and D, and then going, okay, that was too expensive, that took too much time. Oh, that was easy, and it worked, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, not being afraid of problems, you know, like rather than waiting for the problem to happen, go, okay, what's a possible obstacle here, and how can I overcome it?
And how do you keep your records? Are you in like a Google spreadsheet, or do you have like a notebook or a template or anything?
I use Notion. Notion is like a free website type thing. I mean, there's loads of different ones, you know. I've tried different, I keep on trying different things, but I like Notion just because it's free and you can have many different, you know, you can divide different areas of your life. You can have pages within pages, within pages, you know. So that's kind of what I do. And also I try to always have my goals very, very clear. Sometimes I have to rewrite them, you know, and keep on refining. And I have them, I make a screenshot, you know, I use Miro, which is like, you know, another free tool that helps you kind of visualize things. Mm-hmm. This is more for a mind map, you know, to make like a mind map of your goals. And then I take a screenshot of it and put it on my computer screensaver. So it's always there every day. You know, I look at it and I don't forget.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of keeping records, yeah, you could just use Excel or, you know, Google Sheets. You know, you don't need anything fancy.
Do you have an example of, because that is interesting, you saying even like you're like, I kind of had to adjust my goals as they evolve. Like, do you have an example of an instance you had to do that with a goal? Like how it evolved?
Well, as I said before, I've got a lot of things going on, right? And sometimes I overload myself with too many things. So for example, I published a book a couple of years ago, and I did this online course, and then I was thinking about how to promote it. And so I spent a lot of time, you know, thinking about promotion and all of that. It's not my favorite subject, but, you know, you've got to do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I spent, you know, I thought, I'm going to use Facebook ads. So I learned all about Facebook ads. But by the end of the course, I realized that this is not something I want to spend my time doing. I was like, there's a lot of videos I'm going to have to do to promote this course. Do I want to spend all of my time making these marketing videos? Actually, no. Like, I already had spent a lot of time watching this course. I spent money for it. You know, I got it. I know that I could do it, but I was like, this isn't me. It just isn't me. I can't. So I decided that instead of doing that, I'm going to do something different that is more me, because I'm a little bit more introverted. And I was like, well, a more introverted thing to do would be to do cross promotion with other authors, you know, and that actually works just as well. So I have changed my goal. I was like, I mean, I haven't changed my goal. I've changed my strategy.
Yeah.
You know, the goal was, you know, promote the book and the course, but just doing it in a way that is not going to ruin my life or my mental health, you know, and something that feels better.
Oh, yeah. So that goes back to the beginning of this, where you're like, start with what you want, what feels good to you, and that can be what guides you.
Yeah, I think it's important to take a moment of a pause, you know, I'll take a moment of away from social media, phones, computers, distractions, and even maybe go, and you know, if it works for you, go in a place where you can be alone in nature, because sometimes that can really help to calm down and just stop the constant monkey mind swirling, you know, around with the what ifs and anxiety and doubts and all of that. And so we need some time to just drop in and listen to a deeper voice within ourselves. Some people call it a gut feeling, some people call it the higher self. You know, this is, but in order to listen to this voice, because it is a subtle voice, we need silence, we need time away. It might take a little bit of just switching off from everything else and dedicating maybe a day, 2 days, 3 days, maybe even a week, you know, just to kind of drop in and ask, what really matters to me? You know, what is really important to me? What would make me happy? Rather than what should I do or all that, those other things, you know? And just take the time to then close your eyes and listen. Just listen, because your mind will be like, blah, 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 blah. And we don't want to listen to that, because that's just chatter, and anything could be a goal. This or not this, this or not this. You're never going to find a solution that way. So the way to find it is to take time to go in. And maybe it's about doing a little meditation, or maybe it's about going in nature, or maybe it's about journaling, you know, but whatever you need to do. Maybe it's about, you know, letting out first all of that other crap, you know, that is not really relevant. You know, sometimes I do that as well, like, you know, if I'm feeling frustrated or I'm feeling like there's a lot going on in my mind, I might like to do a 5 minute rant, you know, to just like go 5 minutes, I'm going to vomit out all the horrible stuff that's going on in my head, mm-hmm. and just let it all out. And then after 5 minutes, that's gone. Over to one side. Now I can drop in, now that stuff is, or you could write it. You do, you know, 10 minutes free writing, no worries about grammar. Just write down everything that comes into your head without filter. You know, this sort of exercises can help.
Yeah, and Mike Marr brings up a good point here. And I see some people asking questions, so we'll definitely get to them. But, and this is something I'm feeling what Mike is saying here in terms of like, I've been doing comedy 12 years. And my wife is like, where's the stability in a lot of ways, you know, especially with the pandemic and all my live shows going away and they're starting to creep back. But then my January was basically just canceled of shows again. But Mike Mars said money is a big obstacle always. And that is what I've been struggling with, especially lately, of like, I mean, I'm a professional comedian. I should be making money. I want to be making enough to where my wife doesn't have to work if she doesn't want to. You know, and I've been putting a lot of pressure on myself to do that in some way. And I feel like I'm suffocating all the joy out of anything I'm doing. But at the end of the day, it is like Georgia Power doesn't accept journaling as a payment. You know what I mean? So it's finding that balance, which I'm still struggling with. And I know Mike is saying that. I'm sure a lot of other people are. So how like we need money to live, and money is fun. but I'm assuming, I don't really have any right now, but I'm hoping to find out someday, you know, in a big way. So like, what is the mindset around money perhaps?
Well, I mean, first of all, I think it's important to get rid of the shoulds in our lives, you know, and replace them with coulds. You know, you could be doing this, you could be doing that. It's not should, because if you start talking to yourself in this way, I should, basically, if you don't do the thing that you think you should do, you're going to beat yourself up, and then you're going to feel bad about it, and that's going to make you actually not do it. So there's no point in going should. Just go, okay, could. Could is possibility. Then you can choose A, B, or C. Now, once again, this is a question that, you know, we all artists have, you know, we're all artists here in a way or another. And as an artist, yes, there is no certain income coming in if we only want to work with our art. I mean, that can be the goal, right? That can be the long-term goal, but we need to be looking at, okay, how do I make this happen? And it might be that we need different income streams. I mean, let's face it, we do need different income streams. So it's about looking, okay, what are these different income streams? And what are of these can I feasibly do that aren't going to ruin my life or my family, or, you know, like, what are feasible? So what are these three things? You know, could it be maybe I need to adjust my goals a little bit? You know, I need to go with what is actually happening. So right now, if there are no gigs, well, I can't just, you know, blame the world and go, well, I'm angry because there are no gigs. It's like, yeah, of course, everybody's frustrated. I'm frustrated, you're frustrated, but that's not gonna, you know, make the gig happen. So it's like, okay, let's accept that this is the status quo for now. And let's work with what we've got, right? So how can I work with what I've got is the question, right? What are my skills? Because as a comedian, as you know, you have a lot of skills that could apply, you know, could be used in many different areas of life. You know how to talk to someone like this, improvising, you know, I'm sure you didn't know exactly what you were gonna ask me, you know, and I didn't know what I was gonna say in advance, you know, so it's a big skill. It's a big skill that let's not undervalue it, you know. So what are my skills? You know, writing them down. Maybe you're good at teaching. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're good at writing. Maybe you're not. What are you good at? What do you enjoy? And what can you do? What could be transferable? So, you know, maybe short-term goals to do with money can be incorporated into the bigger goal of, yes, I want to be making money with my art as a big goal. So let's always keep that in mind, but let's also look at what reality is right now and what can I do right now. Wait, there was something else I wanted to say, but it's just escaped me. Well, we'll come back.
No worries.
Does that make sense? Well, oh, yes, the relationship with money. Yeah, I think it's also important, like, to, if you think you've got bad relationship with money, you know, some people, I used to have a really bad relationship with money, which was like, basically, I thought money is evil. If you're a good person, you're not greedy. You know, if you want money, you're greedy. Rich people are bad, you know, all this crap, right? On the other hand, I think it can be toxic to also think that money is everything, and, you know, that puts your value, you know, think that you're not valuable or you're not worthy if you don't have a lot of money. You know, some people may be poor, but actually have enough, you know, to clothe their children, eat whatever, and actually have a lot of time, and that might be good for them, and it might be what rich means for them. So first of all, let's have a good relationship with money. What does that mean? Well, how do we know? So one thing I like to do is to write a letter to money. It sounds crazy, but, you know, trying it out, it can really be interesting, you know, exercise. Just go, dear money, I hate you because you are evil and blah, 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 or I love you, I never have enough, or I, you know, whatever it is, just write it down. That's your story around, and your belief around money. And once you've written this letter, some things will come out, such as beliefs, you know, beliefs about money. Underline them and write them down, make a list and write them down, you know, money is only for greedy people or whatever. I am not worthy if I don't have $1 million in the bank, whatever, you know. But write them all the negative beliefs down and then ask yourself, okay, are these facts? You know, is this a fact or is this a story I'm telling myself, some kind of fiction, you know? Where did I pick it up? My mom and dad, okay, or my teacher at school or whoever. Do I subscribe to their value system now? Like maybe I picked it up when I was 5, but now I'm not 5 anymore. Do I subscribe to this value system? Yes, no. Is this empowering me? Is this helpful? Because if it's not, then you have a choice. Now you have a choice to flip it, to change it into something empowering. So for example, for me, it was understanding that money isn't evil or good. Money is just a form of energy, an exchange. It's how you use it. You know, you could have a lot of money and waste it. You could have a lot of money and help other people or help yourself or, you know, whatever it may be. So for me, it was like money is energy, it depends how you use it, you know. The more money I have, the more I can be of service, you know. That was, you know, one of my beliefs. And then I, when you have all these new beliefs written down, now it's time to focus on these beliefs. And now, and here we go into the mind hacks, because once you've got all your beliefs, once you've got all your goals, yeah, that might feel like the end. No, that is the beginning, because you need to support these beliefs and these goals with a healthy dose of self-esteem and focus, right? Because your mind, your subconscious really is who's in charge here. Let's not kid ourselves. You know, we think we are in charge, but actually, subconscious is in charge, and the subconscious can be steered and influenced, you know. And how do we do that? Well, we need to understand how it works. And so it's not enough to do all of them. And this is all important, it's essential, but when you have the belief, then it's like, okay, how do I communicate with my mind in a way that is going to be effective, you know, so that this belief, for example, the money belief, let's say money is energy, or the more money I have, the more I can take care of my family, or something like that, you know, I'm worthy of having money. What would you say, for example, you have, what would you say would be a belief for you around money that you'd like to change, if at all?
Yeah, well, definitely my relationship with it is like growing up, my parents never talked about it, and it was almost taboo to talk about it, and they were both educators, so we didn't have any really either. So I definitely have a mental block even just around discussing it, negotiating it with a booker, even just the whole topic is really uncomfortable and almost mysterious to me, because it has just been this thing I grew up of, like, well, we don't talk about money or politics, you know, and that's just kind of been ingrained in my brain.
So why do you think that was the case? You know, what's behind, what's the reasoning behind not talking about money?
Maybe because we just didn't have much, so there wasn't much to talk about. Or money can complicate things as well. If you realize someone's super rich, you may look at them differently. Or if maybe they thought, since maybe we didn't have a lot of money, that maybe they thought I would look at them differently.
So there's a bit of fear around it. Quite mm-hmm. a lot of fear, possibly shame. I'm not sure. Would you say that there's any shame or fear around it?
Well, I definitely wouldn't want to come off like I had money. Even if I did, I wouldn't go and then
because
buy like a BMW.
Because that would mean what? Okay, well, what would that mean if you bought a BMW?
Wherever I drove, people may start to assume things about me that aren't true, or probably not even positive either.
Like what?
I mean, if I'm a straight blonde haired, blue eyed white male driving a BMW, they're gonna be like, oh, look at that Trumpeteer driving a BMW to his QAnon rally or something.
Right. So it's about fear of being judged then.
I guess so. Yeah, it's like, it's almost like if you like show up with a new shirt at a family function, they're like, oh, somebody got a new silk shirt. They must be doing well. They almost maybe not celebrate it as much as almost like mock it, you know, and then that
Okay.
It makes you feel self-conscious.
It's kind of a fear of rejection in a way, fear of disapproval and then consequently rejection, right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So evolutionarily, for us as human beings, it's really important not to be rejected because, you know, when we lived in tribes, if you got cast out of the group, you might die. You know, that's really important to be approved of. But to a certain extent, we're not going to get rid of this. But to another extent, we have a choice and ask ourselves, okay, is this actually impeding me? You know, does it really matter what I assume? Because this is an assumption. I mean, you don't know, right? You mm-hmm. don't know for a fact that people are thinking this and that and the other, right? You're just assuming, oh, they might be thinking this. And so is this assumption going, you know, first of all, it's not really a fact. I'm imagining that it is. They might be thinking, oh, wow, that guy's so young and he's got all this money. He must be really smart. You know, they could be thinking that.
True. Yeah, yeah.
Possibly. Who knows? Right. Mm-hmm. So it's all about what you're imagining other people thinking. So you've got a choice here. You can either go, okay, you know what? I'm choosing to imagine that actually people are admiring me because I've got doing BMW. Or you could be like, you know what? I choose to let go of this need for approval. I choose to be really, really conscious of my need for approval. And I decide to actually not give it energy because it's not empowering me. It's stopping me from making the money that I could use to .. What would you use money if you had more money? What would you use it for?
Well, my goal is to work in a way that my wife can do what she wants to do, like I'm getting to do right now, you know?
Yeah. Right. So you would use your money in service.
Mm-hmm.
Of
for
someone
sure.
you love.
For right. sure.
So then can you see how this need for an imaginary approval or fear of an imaginary disapproval is actually what's standing in the way of you making more money?
Oh, I need to go lay on my couch. This is getting deep. But yes, yeah, yeah, I can see how that is definitely like in the way of me making any progress towards money. I'm almost like hindering it.
Right. So that's, you know, once you know that, then it's like, okay, I know this is a fear of God, the fear about disapproval and rejection and all of that. Okay, so how do I flip this? How do I change this into something empowering? Right. So we could either just change it completely, like flip it in its opposite, as in, you know, the only approval I need is of my own. That could be a way, you know, or it could be I let go of my need for approval, or it could be about focusing on the solution, like I make money in service of the people I love. You know, making money is good. Because you know you wouldn't have to word it yourself, but once you have it, now that's going to be your mantra. That needs to be something you really, really repeat every day. And you know, you might have heard of affirmations. And the thing with affirmations is that you need to decide that this is something you actually want to communicate to your mind that is possible for you. It's like opening a door and going, that's where we're going, mind. That's where we're going. Like an island, you know, we're going to the island of prosperity, you know, of my wife having the time to do what she loves. That's where we're going, mind. Okay. So we want to focus, visualize it, and write it down in a way that makes sense to you and that is good, that is positive, something you can actually believe. You know, there's no point in writing a suggestion or an affirmation if it makes no sense to you. Oh, I'm abundant. It's like, yeah, whatever. You know, maybe you don't resonate with that at all. But it's like, maybe what resonates with you is I make money to in service of my wife or whatever, you know, like what would be a good mantra, do you think, in light of what we've been talking about for you?
I mean, some I've had in the past are I'm stable, I'm grateful, I am healthy, I am wealthy. But to be more money specific, I wonder if would it be something like money is love? Maybe that's a
does that work for you? Does it work?
Money is love. I'm just trying to connect it to the use, the utility of money is to help loved ones, is for service. So maybe money is service, but it doesn't need to be more specific, like some like.
Well,
like,
maybe how about the more money I make, the more I can be of service to the people I love.
Yes. Okay.
Something like that.
I like that.
And then so you know, I would say I would invite you to write that down, have it really front of mind, and also have something around the fear of getting rejection, because that's going to stand in the way. So we want to let it go. We want to be conscious of it and go, okay, perhaps it is, what do you think would be best? Something like, I let go of my need for approval, or what do you think would work in that, you know, to tackle that?
The approval aspect?
Yeah.
Would it be like something like, money does not define me?
Nice. Quite like that. Do you like that?
I do like that. Mm-hmm.
Perhaps also, just because we don't want to use too much negatives, what defines you? So instead of money doesn't define me, okay, yes, money does not define you, but what does define you?
I think the amount I can help other people. Like even when growing up, when my mom was a single mom, educator with three kids, she was still always intentional about us donating books, even if we didn't have money, and always helping other people. So I've always had that service mentality. So maybe it is, that's what defined me, of how many people I can help as opposed to how much money I can make.
Well, but we want to get it back to money as a positive, because we've kind of sneakily gone back to money's bad. I think, you know, money is bad, but helping people is good. Is it? Yeah, but how are you going to be able to help people if you don't have any money?
Mm-hmm.
You can't, right? You just can't. So then we maybe go back to what you said before, which was the more money I make, the more I can be of service. You know, that's a really nice positive way to look at it. Mm-hmm. Would you agree?
Yeah. So then the motivation isn't the money, the motivation is the service.
Yes, exactly.
Did we just have a breakthrough? I'm sorry, I'm breaking the tension with comedy. I'm sorry. I should be focused here. I like
no,
that.
No, I love it. Yeah, so then now that you have it, how do you use it? Well, what you want to do is you want to use it daily, and you want to repeat this affirmation for no more than 10 minutes every day. You don't want to overdo it. But when you do it, I would suggest that you say it out loud, because when you say things out loud, they're more real. Also that you use your body. So you use your body, what does it mean? You don't, you know, if you slouch and you look down and you got the tone of voice like, the more money I make, it's like, what? You don't believe that, you know? You wanna use the tone of voice, and you wanna stand and have your body in a position that suggests, you know, that anyone who believes this to be true would have. You know, so if I believe that this is true, how do I stand? How do I talk? What's my tone of voice? You know, no, money, the more money I make, the more I can be of service. Yes, of course, yes. And then I just repeat it to myself like I'm coaching myself, you know, like I believe this. And then I visualize it. So visualize it. What are the things I could be doing with the money? Or maybe you visualize helping your wife. Maybe you visualize your wife happy. Maybe you visualize all the other people you're helping. So you really want to make it real, as in, so that you can feel as if it's already true. And this is because if you're, you know, you might have heard about this, many people talk about this, and sometimes it sounds like the magical thing, or, you know, the law of attraction or whatever. But the way that I see it is just psychology, it's just how the subconscious works, because your subconscious is a goal striving mechanism. It will strive towards a goal, whether it is positive, negative, doesn't care. It just wants a goal. And it's driven by emotion. So if you have a strong emotion, positive emotion, and you have a very strong visual idea of what you want, and you communicate it clearly, then your subconscious is going to do everything it can to get there. You don't need to even worry too much. I mean, you can have to take action, of course. You know, you don't just sit on your chair and wait for it to happen. But your subconscious is going to really, really support you in this, right? So that's very important, to put your mind, your emotion, your imagination, your body into these affirmations.
That's exciting. So that would be every day.
And then, yeah, every day. And you can even, you know, if you want to do more, you can write a story, the new story. New story of the future you. Okay, this is a year from now, and it's my future self, and I'm writing a letter to my me in January 6th, 2022, and I'm going, I'm telling him all the things I've done to make this happen and how good I feel about it. All the things I've got in my life now that are possible now, and what I did to make it possible. You can do it with a letter. You could write down the story. This is the story of what happened. You know, that's a good way also.
So it's almost like writing, based on what we've learned today, it's like writing the new story to myself in 2023 as if I'm reading it.
Yeah, it's already happened. You know, if you don't want to write it, you could talk it. You could imagine that you are... you know, you were talking to your best friend and or your wife or whatever, someone else in 2023, and you're going, oh man, this year has been amazing. This is, I'm so excited. I finally got to do what I always wanted to do. I am now able to, I've got a stable income. My wife is so happy. She can do this. And you know what I did to get here? This happened. This is what I did. And I never, you know, I never gave up, and it really worked. Even when I was unsure, I kept on repeating myself, no, keep going, you know. And it's important to get excited about it, because if you get excited, then it's real. And then your subconscious goes, okay, we're making this happen.
Mm. Wow. So for, she does this professionally, by the way, and we'll be sure to have... ways for you to contact her in the show notes and a description of this episode and all of that jazz. Because that's definitely, we could almost use this for like people listening. This could almost be used as like a template for themselves. So to like put a bow on this, we kind of went through that exercise with me. So if someone's listening to this, they're like, oh, wow, that was cool for Joel. But like, how do I then, okay, she did that for him. How do I apply this to me? I just listened to this. I'm feeling inspired to take action and really make this the best year of my life. Okay. It's almost like the further we get away from an idea, it's like the blurrier it gets. So like for people listening, it's like, what can they do? Kind of like what we just did here. How can they like take action and do this for themselves?
Did you say do this for themselves on their own, or what do you?
Yeah, well, it's like you kind of took us almost like if someone were to do this like we just did, whether it's money or like whatever, to find their mantra. It's like how could they do that if you're not sitting there being like, yeah, well, okay, what's going on?
Well, okay, got it. Well, there's actually a chapter in my book. I think it's chapter, I'll pull my book here, which has got, where is it? Yes, it's bonus 3, letting go of limiting beliefs, page 214 of my book. And there's an exercise there that helps you to identify your negative beliefs and how to flip them around. And then there's another chapter, it's chapter 3, where I describe how the mind works and how to talk to your mind. It describes 6 fundamental mind hacks that you need to know to actually communicate to your mind once you've got your empowering, what I call empowering beliefs or empowering statements or empowering affirmations. So these are parts of my book. My book is about performance anxiety, but really it's about, you know, how to overcome anxiety in general. And so actually I would like to give this book for free to your listeners, the whole book, because there's no point in giving them like one chapter and the other chapter. So, you know, if you're interested, you could actually get this entire book for free.
Okay. Applause sound effect. Okay. Oh my God.
Well, yeah, I'll just leave, you know, like, the link with you, but it will be elisadinapoli.com/mindhacks.
Okay.
And then you'll be able to get the book.
All right. I'm going to type that in. So then they'll just go here and then you'll email it to them.
Yeah, so basically what they do is they go to elisadinapoli.com/mindhacks and they write their name and email, and there will be, you know, an email sequence, and it will send them to the, you know, the book. The most important thing is that they add me to the to their address book, because otherwise it will go to spam and they won't see
right.
it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
right.
info@elisadinapoli.com. If they add me, then they'll receive the book.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Thank you so much. Wow. I'm oh my gosh. This this turned into a therapy session. I was just like, my childhood and my parents and money. Wow. And
yeah, you gotta do this. Need a little bit of coaching there.
And you do this for people. Like, so if people are listening to this and like inspired and they want some accountability, which I know I definitely need accountability to do most things in my life. You do these on one-on-one basis as well, right?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I have specifically, I mean, I do help just about anyone that wants help, but I do have a specific kind of program, if you like, for artists, because I, you know, to help artists to achieve what they, you know, a project or something they want to get done. So yes, they basically, they could just go to, again, my website, elisadinapoli.com, and then there's a specific one if they want to call, like I offer 45-minute free consultation called creativity / coach. So elisadinapoli.com/creativity. Not dot, but the little dash coach. And anyway, but if you just go to my website, you'll find it. And there you can get, you can book a free consultation. I do have limited time for those, but I do offer them to people that are serious, you know, about kind of getting forward, going forward with this, you know, with maybe a project, or maybe they don't know, you know, what to do. Where to put their energy into. So we clarify, you know, we clarify in this consultation, and then, you know, after the 45 minutes, we can decide, okay, yes, I can help you, or no, it's not for you. So there's no obligation there.
Wow. This was, wow. I'm overwhelmed. This was my you're not going to believe this. My calendar literally just fell. My calendar just... It like just, that's my vision board as well, but my calendar literally, I don't know what that means. I don't know what that sign is. The calendar is blank. So maybe that means that I need to tear it down and write stuff on it. All these opportunities to be of service. But that was bizarre timing. But wow, thank you so much for sharing this and sharing your time and all your... Okay, it maybe will fall all the way. Hold on 1 second. All right, we'll just take that down. Awesome. Awesome. Wow, this was incredible. Mike Marr said, holistic Batman. Oh, and Kristen asked, how would he get the book? I put a link to it in the chat. And for anyone listening on the podcast, I put a link directly to that and her coaching. And she has courses and so is there anything else? Wow, you've exceeded expectations beyond words, to be honest. But where, I guess, landing the plane here, where can people reach out to you or even just show gratitude and thank you for changing Joel's life so in turn he can serve more people and make money and make happy? So money doesn't equal happy, everyone. But I have a joke that says comedy is a dream job if you hate money. So it's she smiled. She didn't laugh out loud, so we'll work on that one. But where can people go to reach out to you, to connect with you on social media or whatnot? Please let the Hot Breathverse know.
Yeah, I mean, the best place is just go to my website, elisadinapoli.com. All the links are there for my social media. I mean, I'm not a huge social media. I don't have tons and tons of followers, but it's just, I spend my time doing other things. But basically, the best place is elisadinapoli.com. And there they'll find links for the book, the link I already gave, which was Mind Hacks. There's also a free masterclass that I offer for people with performance anxiety. There's all kinds of things there. So, and then there's also my Facebook, link for Facebook. So if you want to get in touch that way, that's fine as well.
Wow. Amazing. Thank you so much. And I appreciate everyone for hanging out and experiencing this live with us. That was incredible. Wow. This was amazing. Thank you so much for being so generous with your time and information as well. You've really given a lot and helped a lot of people here.
I'm glad to be a service. That's something, that is important to me as well.
And you reached out to me about doing this. So yeah, I'm eternally grateful for that. Thank you.
Well, thank you for doing, your bit and helping other people, comedians. I love stand-up comedy. I mean, I do some musical comedy myself. It's not really, stand-up comedy, but it's musical comedy.
Fun. Love to check it out. Is it posted anywhere?
Yes, I've got another website, which is dedicated to my music. And, so that one is elisavulpes.com. It's a different name just because... to make things difficult. So if you want to hear my music, you can go to elisavulpes.com, and that's ELYSSAVULPES.com. Difficult name.
VUL what?
VULPES. Vulpes means fox in Latin.
Oh, okay. She's a mindset coach, not a branding coach, everyone. So just...
Not a branding coach. I can't do branding.
No, I'm just kidding. But your websites look amazing, for sure. I was definitely... It's all... When someone reaches out, let's talk about mindset, I'm like, well, hold on. Let's make sure this isn't someone, just on Craigslist. Like, hey, I read a fortune cookie and now I want to tell you about it. I was... For sure, I checked her out before bringing her on here because I wanted to make sure that, this was something people would get value out of. And you exceeded expectations. So I will definitely put a link to your music as well, and I'll be sure to check it out. I'm excited about that. So we're going to land the plane, Hot Breathverse. But go forth, reach out to Elisa, even if it's just to thank her for coming on here and just let her know the power of the Hot Breathverse and the impact that she made today. So she'll come back and give me another follow-up of Joel, where are your 10,000 subscribers? So Thank you so much for listening, everyone, and we will see you on the next one. Bye, y'all.
Bye-bye.
Bye. There it is, Hot Breathiverse. Take that inspiration you feel right now. Take that energy and take action. Don't put this off. You found this episode at this time for this reason, for you to now set your goals, for you to now set the roadmap, set the intentions that Elisa was talking about, and make this the best year of not only your career, but of your life. Elisa also has free access to her book linked into the description of this episode. And if you want help, if you want accountability, if you want more access to Q&As like this, all you got to do is join Hot Breath Pro, where you can connect with me and other motivated members around the world, all helping each other level up their comedy game. Everything is linked into the description of this episode. I hope to see you there on next week's Q&A. And I hope to hear Elisa being like, man, the Hot Breathiverse really reached out. Y'all are up to something special here. But in the meantime, in between time, I love you all so much, and I'm so grateful that you listened all the way to the end of this outro, and I'm so excited to see what 2022 brings. And until next Monday, right here on Hot Breath. Hot Breath. This episode of Hot Breath is sponsored by our Patreon. If any of our content has helped your comedy career, join our Patreon linked in the show notes and get positive comedy karma for life. Probably.